And for the 41,000 that were out here last night, it was one of those games you're not going to forget. And as I was saying to Ron Wotus, the bench coach of the Giants who just came in, of course, you know, if you're just waking up and you were out on the town last night and say, hey, what happened in the Giants game last night? Well, they were leading 2-1 in the ninth inning and then gave up two runs to the Cardinals and eventually lost the game 3-2 in a very pivotal game, which could have pushed the Cardinals way back. But it was one of those games, whoa, and I'll bring you in right away here. The Giants winning World Series in 10, 12, and 14 never went through a meltdown in the ninth inning in what is considered sort of a playoff game. The bullpen never gave up a run. This is something new. How do you deal with it?
Well, you have to deal with it. Obviously, you know, it just shows you how fleeting winning can be and how difficult it is to win at times. You know, and we've been very, very good at it throughout the playoffs and the World Series, no question about it. But you got to deal with it. Look, you wish everything would be easy every time. You wish you'd close out every game. You wish you'd get every guy in from third. But the game doesn't operate like that. So we'll regroup today, you got to be ready to play nine innings today, and if we get in the same situation, close out the deal.
Yeah, the Cardinals, you know, you had them on the brink a little bit, but, you know, you've played Cardinal baseball before, a couple of 12 and 14. The Cardinals are right in there, and that last pop-up went up in the sky. I thought of Scudero looking up. Did you think of it, looking into the rain at all? I know probably you're upset that Gillespie popped out.
Yeah, no, I didn't think of that. That brings back a great memory with the Scudero and the rain and all that. You know, we played the Cardinals very well. We've been very fortunate, as you said, through the playoff runs and in these big games, we've been able to get the job done. And I honestly believed last night that Connor Gillespie was going to drive a ball in the gap and we were going to win that game. So it didn't happen. So as I said, you regroup and, you know, biggest game of the year today, as we like to say, that's behind us. It's one we would have loved to have had because it really would have made a difference in the standings for us. But we need to win today's game to put the Cardinals a little further back.
All right, 14 to go. The Giants are tied now with the Mets in the wild card, and the Cardinals are two back of the Giants, so they could have gone four back, but it wasn't meant to be, and as we say, that's the way a season works out, that's the way games go in the last couple of weeks of the season. Everyone seems like the biggest loss in the world until you play the next game and you realize you got more to play.
Right, you know, we've had a lot of gut-wrenching losses this year, there's no question about it, and that's what happens when you can't close out the game in the late innings. You know, that's something that can affect, you know, a player's confidence, it can affect the team's confidence. That's why teams are always trying to get the lockdown bullpen, you know, and because if you can win the games, you're in position to win, you're in pretty good shape. It's always difficult to ask, you know, your offense to come back against the other team's best pitchers late in the game. So gut-wrenching losses when you lose them that way. But again, it shows you that the game is nine innings, it's not eight, and you have to be ready to bounce back from that.
All right, let's talk about the beginning of the game, though. And we'll talk about last night, then we'll look ahead at some of the situations that came up last night. Samardzija pitched an excellent game for the Giants, continuing again. Now, last time he faced the Cardinals, they got him for four home runs and got him for a home run early. And I said, boy, here we go again. Moss took him out, but that was about the last thing he gave up.
Yeah, no, he started off, like you said, he gave up the home run, but he got better as the game went on. I really think he found his niche. You know, we got that 2-1 lead, and he really he stepped on the pedal, and he threw the ball extremely well. His location was good. And I thought he attacked the hitters. He really went after him. He used his fastball real well. He was throwing some fastballs up and in. He had good life on his ball, and another very good outing by Samardzija.
Yeah, someone, Alex Pavlovich, tweeted that he'd thrown, I think, 29 pitches of 95 and a few 97s in there. And I looked at my scorecard until when he went out. The only balls to the outfield, I think there was a base hit and the home run. There was not another chance for the outfield last night. How about that?
Yeah, no, he had dominating stuff, and I was reading a paper coming in this morning, and he made mention of the atmosphere, you know, talking about playoff situation, what it could be like in Chicago. And, you know, maybe these fans who've been a great support for us, the magnitude of the game, how important it was, and he was feeling good, certainly probably helped him on that radar gun a little bit, because I thought he threw the ball as well as he's thrown it all year.
Yeah, I thought it was his best game of the year for the pressure of the game and the way he handled it, the fact that they hit four home runs off him in St. Louis. Crawford, last night, you got to be proud of your pupil here. And, you know, you talk about gold gloves. I don't know, a better shortstop. There's something about the guy. When the ball's hit to him, the hands are quick. There's no yips. There's no nothing and panic. I love the double play combination. It's that, I always told you that Banks to Baker to Bilko, you know, Bingo to Bango to Bilko, that thing from the Cubs in the 50s. But, boy, Crawford last night, I thought it was honestly one of his best games ever.
Well, Shark, did a great job of getting the ground balls when he needed it. Again, he kept the ball. He had good movement and sink on his ball. And those two guys in the middle have played great for us. Let's face it, Brandon Crawford's a gold glover. I think, he'll win it again this year. I think he should. I think the other managers watch him play. We're fortunate we get to see him play every single day. So we see how he shows up every day and how often he just makes an impact on defense for us. Always seems to be in the right spot. I think his metrics are off the charts as far as the best in the league and defensive run save. That's one of the sabermetric things that people use today. But for shortstops, he's the best in the league, and he's having another very good year defensively, and I expect him to win the Gold Glove again.
Yeah, I thought last night was one of his best, because the double plays, as soon as the ball is hit on the ground at him in a double play situation, you don't even have to look up. You just write it in the book. I mean, that's how good the two of them have become.
Yeah. He's got a very quick glove-to-hand transfer. He gets the ball to Joe, and, the feeds are usually right there, which Joe will tell you. You get a good feed on a double play, and it makes it so much easier than if you have to low throw or you have to reach for the ball. They were pretty much all routine double plays, but you want to turn them. It's, the pitcher's best friend, right? And they were huge last night in the game, especially a 2-1 game, a game of that magnitude. When you can get two outs on one pitch, it makes a huge difference.
All right, so 2-1 going into the ninth. Up to that point, Mrs. Lincoln, the play was very good. Up to that point, then things happened in the ninth inning. And again, with three good games in a row behind the team as they head into game four today, it is Alex Reyes. So, an interesting story about this kid. And Suarez on the other side has pitched great. But believe it or not, the team has lost, I think, the last seven games he's been in. Even though he gives you the five good innings, somehow things have happened after that, and this will be another bullpen game today.
Yeah, you would expect it would boil down to it. I hope it does on the Cardinals side. This kid that's throwing for them today, we have not seen him, but 94 to 98 on the radar gun with a curveball and a good changeup, and that makes it very difficult. When a guy throws that hard, you say, okay, major league hitters are always ready for the fastball. Yeah. Give me that fastball. I don't care how hard you throw. If it's straight, I'm going to hit you. But if you can throw another pitch like a changeup or a curveball for strikes, it makes it much more difficult. And reading the report, he's supposed to have a pretty good changeup, and that's a tough combination. So we'll get a look at him. His command can be shaky. Yeah. That's the report on him. Look, he's a young guy, and his command can come and go. So hopefully we can get to him, and with the fans behind us here, we can put up some runs against him.
Yeah, 28 innings for him, 16 hits. Four homers, 16 hits, 4 runs, that's all. One homer, 16 walks, though, and 34 strikeouts. So obviously he's got the big pitch. Righty's 8 for 61. Lefty's 8 for 34. He's made two starts against the A's in Cincinnati, two of the weaker teams in baseball, and both were at home. This is his first time making a start on the road.
Well, that brings up a good point. I mean, it's one thing to look at these things on paper. You watch them on video, but now you get into the arena, right?
Yeah.
Like our friend Tim Flannery used to say, and you have the mob here, and you have the fans on your side, and the magnitude of the game. You don't know what kind of pressure this kid's feeling, and you have a Buster Posey at the plate and a Hunter Pence, and he walks a couple guys. And that's where the human element comes into this thing. You know, the stats are glaring that he has dominating stuff, but you have to go out and you have to play the game. And the makeup of the player is so very important. Can you handle these situations as a young player? Will he rise to occasion? So we'll get a look at him today.
This kid is interesting. He went to high school in Elizabeth, New Jersey. Dominican Republic kid. He went back to the Dominican Republic to work on his baseball. Most come here. He
wow.
went back as a 10th grader and stayed there, and the Cardinals tried to hide him as the old Roberto Clemente. Let's hide the guy somewhere. The Dodgers tried to do that, and the Pirates found him. And the Cardinals hit him and shied him away from everybody, and he worked with Raul Mondesi. That was the mayor of his town. And that's how the kid developed, and the Cardinals finally got him. And when you go back, you've got to wait a year. If you're, you can't just go back and sign. You've got to wait another year while you're back there. And the Cardinals somehow got him. So kind of one of those different stories of baseball.
Yeah, huh? No, very interesting story. And I can understand, you know, why the Cardinals were trying to hide the kid with the arm like
yeah.
that. And, you know, it really is, you know, talking to our scouts and the people that go to Dominican, it's really, really competitive down there with the teams trying to sign these guys. You know, everybody has a baseball academy. Everybody wants to have a relationship with certain guys so they can sign them. But the agents are involved down there. If a kid has talent, there's a huge competition. You know, the agents get the word out, yeah. and then now you have 26 major league teams trying to get the guy. Everybody likes to have their own academy and develop their own guys and get their own guys to sign with them. But it's a very competitive situation and signing the free agents in the Dominican.
Yeah, so the kid, they pulled it off. The Cardinals pulled it off. He was like 170 pounds in high school, and all of a sudden now he's like 6'3 and 240 or something, you know?
Yeah, no, I just looked at him. He's a big boy.
All right, it'll be interesting today. Suarez is a big guy, too, and a good story from him coming from Venezuela. Do you ever manage in the Dominican? Do you ever do any work down there?
No, I did not manage. I played winter ball. My first year was an A-ball type league. It wasn't AA or AAA. It was in Colombia, South America. They had a league there for about 15 years. And Johnny Lipon, who was my manager in winter ball, was our manager with the Pirates. I played in Colombia 1 year, and then a couple years later, I went to Venezuela and played for Valencia in Venezuela. But those were the only 2 years I went to winter ball as a player, never went down as a coach or a manager.
Yeah, what managing did you do winter-wise? I know you did the Fall League, didn't
you? The Fall League. The Fall League, managed in the Fall League, and that's it.
Who do you have?
Pardon?
Who do you have there?
Let's see. Who did we have? We had, David Bell's brother, his younger brother, was on the team. That David's here. That comes to mind. His younger brother, first name's eluding me. He was on the team. He played third base for us. We had the Colorado Rockies organization. I think we had Jamie Wright at the time.
Okay.
And we're going back to 1998, and it's getting a little foggy right now. But
well, they always have guys who end up Hall of Famers, and it's a good training ground.
It is a good training ground. You usually do have many players that play in the major leagues, and none of them are coming to mind right now. I don't know if it's the hour in the morning or if I didn't have any down there.
We try to repress those things.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, you brought up an interesting point. Ron Wotus with us, and it's great to have you here this morning after this tough loss last night, and you always put a good perspective on it. A couple of things. One, there was a ball hit to the outfield last night. The Craw did look like a receiver from UCLA, so Marge had to appreciate that. What happened on that ball? I know it's another ball that seems to hang up there for a while. Pagan not getting the jump on it, ball just in no man's land. What happened there?
Yeah. Well, Craw made a heck of a play because when he went back, you could see the wind taking it, and he had a curl back, as you said, as a wide receiver. It was not an easy catch. Ideally, what you want is you want the outfielder to come hard. You don't want to assume that the infielder is going to catch it. You want the outfielder to come hard. And that's one of the tougher plays in baseball, the ball that's in between the two, and then it's communication between the two players. You know, you teach your infielder to go get the ball, go after it as if you're going to catch it, and keep an ear open because the outfielder will call you off if he can catch it. So, you know, that way that's a communication that you use. And Angel didn't call for it, so Craw continued on it and made a heck of a play. Because if you pull up expecting the other guy to catch it, that ball's a base hit.
It's a double.
Yeah.
If the guy's hustling,
yeah,
it's a double. And that was the first out for Romo. You know, and I'm sure that would, he had a sigh of relief.
Yeah, we all did. We all did. The way Craw caught that ball, you know, that was a big out. You don't want the leadoff guy to get on in a one-run game in the ninth inning. So we all had a sigh of relief when Craw made that catch. And I'm not sure if Angel couldn't get to it or didn't think he could get to it. And, you know, he sees the gold glove going out there, and he probably thought it was in good hands.
Got to have good outfield defense in these one-run games late in the game. I've come to that conclusion. The arm of Span, I think, is somewhat of an issue. We all see it, and a throw, you know, can barely get to the infield. And Angel as well has got to, you know, maybe there's Gorky's Hernandez and Blanco. Maybe they've got to be out there a little bit more late in these close games because they're all playoff games. In the ninth inning, you can't allow something to happen.
Well, it all makes a difference in the course of the game. You know, whether it's you get into a game and you're long guy or you got to use more relievers than you need. But, you know, the talent on the field, probably one of the most overlooked things is today when you evaluate a player or sign a free agent is his arm strength. How well does he throw? But if you have guys that can throw the ball from the outfield, it saves you runs. And it's not so much you're always going to throw people out, but the third base coaches don't even try to send the guy. Yeah. There's probably a handful of plays a year that would be hit to, let's say, a left fielder. And if he had a real good arm, the third base coach is holding him up. If he doesn't, they're sending him. So it does come into play your overall game, your overall arm strength.
Yeah, I think a lot depends on the situation. Maybe it's a tie game or whatever. But if you're nursing a one-run lead in the ninth inning in a playoff, you know, maybe it's one of those things that gets talked about a lot on your end of it, but I say, boy, you better get the defense straight in the outfield as well.
Well, you want arms, you want speed. I think probably what's even more important than the arm strength, you know, they're all important, and you'd love to have a guy that has a cannon and can run the ball down, right, obviously, but is the speed in the outfield. You know, one thing that we've seen over the years here, especially with this big outfield, is if you have guys that can't run the ball down and the ball goes up in the outfield, that's, you know, usually a double or a triple. You don't have range in the infield. The guy hits one by the shortstop or the second baseman, it's a single. So you want guys that can run the ball down in the outfield. Yeah. And, you know, it goes to the fact that, you know, we won World Series with guys like Travis Ishikawa starting in left field who didn't run the ball down. Pat Burrell, who was a big offensive hitter for us, brought so much to the table. But another guy that you said liability range-wise, and we were able to win with them as well. So there's no, you know, there's no perfect club out there. You got to do what you have to do to get your offense in the game. But ideally, to your point, you'd love to have guys that can run the ball down in the outfield and had something to throw with as well.
Well, you said something interesting before, and that was sort of like, you know, the fans, sort of like the Roman Colosseum. You know, they sort of get excited. And last night when Casilla came in, for whatever reason, I mean, you know, this has been, you know, this is documented, 8 blown saves before last night. And in a way, it's gut-wrenching the way it happens. It doesn't happen like in 10 seconds. It takes about 10 minutes for it to happen. And it happens on just one pitch, you know, that critical moment of a couple of batters. And the fans booed him coming in. And I, you know, maybe it was like the Roman Colosseum. Maybe the fans are, you know, out there, and you know, they know what could happen. Does that affect a ball player at all? I mean, I know everybody's different.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. Everybody's different, but, you know, it's human nature. Nobody wants to be booed, especially in their own ballpark. So some players it'll affect more than others. Some guys it won't affect them at all. Some guys, you know, that may motivate them more, you know, to go out and to get the job done or to the show the fans. But, you know, this game is so difficult to play that confidence is a big part with your performance. And whether you're a hitter or a pitcher, if you're throwing the ball good or you've had good success, you're going to feel good about what you're doing. The decisions to throw the pitch, the conviction you throw the pitch with is going to be a lot different than if you're not going good. Hitters the same way, right? You're striking out, you're not seeing the ball well, you just don't have that same confidence that you're going to get the job done, and it can really affect the performance, and along with the crowd can add to it.
Yeah, it's a knowledgeable crowd here.
Yes.
And people know, and look, we do these shows as baseball 24/7. Every time you turn on a TV set, someone's analyzing something. So that, you know, that's what we go with.
Well, we're glad they're knowledgeable. We're glad they're passionate. You know, it's great to see. They're on their feet. They appreciate good baseball. And, you know, they're upset that we're not getting the job done. We all understand that. So are we. But they're intense. They're into the game. And thank God they come out every night to support us because they make a real difference for us.
All right. One last thought, then we'll take a quick break and get you going here. Corey Guerin, and I was down in Arizona, and the Friday night game, of course, Casilla was part of that with the Jake Lamb home run. I understand why he wanted to be in the game for all the righties that they have. But then it got later in the game, and Corey Guerin went to left field. One of the more humorous parts. It all worked out well. The game was won. But he had a lot of comments about it. He didn't even take, as Javi Lopez said, he didn't even take a different glove. He took his pitcher's glove out there. Take us through that one for a minute.
Well, again, boils down the matchups. We've used a lot of guys, and Boach, you know, wanted to have Corey face a couple of right-handers, but he didn't want Corey facing the left-hander. So I think it's only been done a few times. We've talked about it before. Boach was going to do it with Javi Lopez numerous times in the past, do the same with the thing with him where they had a couple lefties and they had a big righty and another lefty, put him into the outfield. That almost happened here at home a couple years ago. But this was a game. Everything fell right for Boach, and he thought it was the right thing to do, and it was. It worked out. So Corey went out and played left field. We brought Javi in to get the lefty out, and then Hernandez went out to take Corey's defensive position, and Corey came in and got the next out. So it went as planned. That's what you like to see when you do these things.
Now, had you worked him in the outfield before? Because when they moved him out there, they said, all right, play straight up. And he said, what's that?
Yeah, exactly. He was a little shallow. Roberto kept his eye on him. He was pushing him back. His teammates were trying to tell him where to play. The thing about pitchers and these relievers, they shag every day in batting practice.
Yeah.
So we kind of know which guy is athletic, which guy can get it done. I mentioned Javi Lopez because he runs around out there like he's an outfielder in the big leagues. That's how good he is. And I didn't know Corey's defensive ability, but Guardian Rags and these guys said, no. Oh, he's good. He's pretty good out there. So, you know, it's a risk you take, but it certainly helps if you have confidence that the player can run down a routine fly ball, that opposed to a guy that won't be able to run down the routine fly ball. So it worked out.
Yeah, it was good. I'm waiting to see you do it here. Let's see you do it here.
Well, hopefully we won't get in that situation.
That's true. All right, we'll take a break. Ron's got to get back. Ron Wotus, our bench coach, and get ready for today. But, well, I want you to analyze a little bit of this wild card race and the scoreboard watching and the fact no batting practice for a few days, getting swept by the Padres, and then sort of flipping the switch, and all of a sudden the playoff team showed up for the first three games against the Cardinals. How does all that happen? All right, we'll be back with Ron Wotus right after this.
Talking baseball with Marty Lurie on KNBR 680, the sports leader.
All right, nice to have you back with us. Ron Wotus, the bench coach of the Giants here. It is Albert Suarez today for the Giants. He's pitched very well in this fifth spot. And he goes against an unknown Alex Reyes, but one of the top prospects in Major League Baseball, a right-hander. Throws triple digits when he needs it, and it'll be interesting to see what happens with him today. Well, this you know, wild card race is so tight here. Let me move my the bobbleheads here so I can see you. The wild card races are so tight, and you know, you guys have been down this stretch before, and you've been a wild card before. The Dodgers are still looming out there, five ahead. How does this look to you? What's it like?
Well, you know, you just got to worry about yourself, obviously. We look at the scoreboard. Shoot, you look up, you see the Mets win, you know, you see the Dodgers win, you know. You want to make sure that you win. You look at it, but your main concern is our own ball club. We have to win games. You know, that's when we let get away last night. So today is so very important for us. And this is the fun time of year. And I think the guys are rising to the occasion. That's the thing why this looks good to me. You know, we didn't play well against San Diego. You mentioned that. We got swept, but we took the BP off. These guys have come back re-energized. Even though we lost the game, we're playing giant baseball, and I really like the way they went about it. We had good energy, clutch hits, and you know, that's what we're looking for. So I feel good about the next 2 weeks here to get into the playoffs one way or another. I feel good about it.
You know, we talked about flipping the switch. I always say when you leave spring training from the last day of spring training to the opening day of the season, all of a sudden, in the old days, guys would go nine. You know, it was a whole different situation. Here you get walloped by San Diego for three. Excruciating loss again, the three-run homer that loses a game. And you guys look lifeless, my goodness. Then all of a sudden you come out against the Cardinals, and it looked like the beginning of a playoff run.
Yeah, well, you know, sometimes you need a wake-up call, and I think that was a low point for us, getting swept by San Diego. We have some guys in this room. They've been through this many, many times. And I think the combination of, you know, playing that poorly and then taking the BP off, let's do something different. You know, this game is such a grind. Look, it's September. The dog days were in August, right? We're a month beyond the dog days. So our starters, you know, the Poseys, the Crawfords, the Panics, Pences, these guys, they don't need to be out there taking batting practice. And it's not so much the batting practice. They're still hitting. They go in the cage. They're getting their work done. I think it's getting here, you know, getting here at 2 o'clock. You have your whole routine. You know, you're not just taking BP. You're in the weight room. You're checking off all the boxes of what you do. I think sometimes you need to just clear the mind, show up, and put the 3 hours of energy into the baseball game. And I think that's helped these guys rejuvenate a little bit. And it's been a good thing. You know, we played good baseball the last 3 days.
Is there BP today?
No BP today, all but right. Typically we don't hit on a day game after a night game. As I said, though, they all get their work in. You know, I don't want the fans out there to think that they're not showing up there. I mean, they all go in the cage. I mean, they're in the cage. They're still taking 500 swings. They're just not doing it earlier on the field. And I'll take guys out to give them ground balls, guys that need it, especially the extra guys. At this time of year, like I said, the starters, you know, there's no problem to save your energy for the game. My God, you have to play nine innings, you have to play hard. It's 3-4 hour games. But the extra guys, the guys, your bench players, you want to keep them sharp. So we'll get them out, give them ground balls, and give them the work they need.
Is Nunez growing on you a little bit?
Well, he's a talented player. We've talked about him before. Yeah. I mean, I like what this guy can do. And every player will find his stride at some point. And he's found it this year making the All-Star team. But if you break him down from a scouting perspective, he can do everything you want. So it's just a matter of now. You know, controlling your mind, controlling your at-bats, being a little more disciplined, and getting better as a baseball player. And this is a great environment for him to do that.
Yeah, well, something came up, made me think of it last night. He stole second, then he stole third. Unfortunately, the sand got the hit, so he couldn't, you know, get in. But Samardzija got him in anyway with the sacrifice fly. Why don't more people steal third in that shift situation? There's nobody there.
Yeah, well,
I mean, come on, I could steal third in that situation.
Sometimes you can, Marty. I agree with that. Sometimes a third baseman plays so far off the line. If you do take off, it's a foot race to throw the third, and it's a difficult throw for the catcher with the third baseman on the run and a difficult tag. You know, depends how frisky you want to get. But to your point about Nunez, and that's a part of the game that's, you know, I just overlooked talking about him, is his ability to steal a base.
Yeah.
And you look what he did in that game last night. He single-handedly gave us that second run, and that's what speed does for you. We don't have a ton of it on the club. That pitcher that he stole on yesterday was quick to the plate.
Leak.
And he still stole the base. So that's a very dynamic player. That's a player you want on your roster, especially in close games. And he's a weapon for you on the bases. So a very talented guy.
There was the old head-first slide. Of course, head-first slide, you don't know what what's happened. You don't know what's going on. And, of course, you go feet first. You could pop up and keep running head first. You know, you might as well order a sandwich because you're not going anywhere.
Well, you know, stealing second, you're taught to peek, right? When you take off, some guys can do it. Some of the great base stealers, they never peeked. They went straight in. The guy hit the ball, and yeah, there they are standing on second. But, you know, he could have taken a peek before that to see where the ball was hit. But just one of those plays, you know. I'm a little bit surprised that you know, Span swung at it, because he looked like he had third base stolen, but he got the pitch he wanted and he drove it in the right field. You know, 9 times out of 10, that's a run. But he ended up scoring, so that was the important thing.
Superstitions? Do you have any? I mean, a lot of people said, well, and Bochy said, look, we keep winning, we'll never take batting practice again. You know, they'll show up. You know, I said Richie Allen. Richie Allen was a notorious great slugger of the 60s and 70s who would show up like 5 minutes before the game. And then Chuck Tanner would say, where were you? And finally they let him out there. So I said, eventually, if you keep winning, you know, guys will be showing up, you know, at game time.
Yeah, no, you know, so we all have them. I don't carry them that far. We all play that game, though. I mean, you wear the same shirt.
Do you?
Yeah, you get dressed the same way, you know. But you don't stick with it all the time. It comes and goes, because once you lose a game, they say, well, that's not working. You got to go to a different superstition. So I don't know, you know, how valid it is that this is what we have to do. But I think we all play that game. Anything to try to feel good about winning the game. And, you know, it's a fun thing to do. But I think the most important thing for me, playing these close games over the years and going through these playoff runs, is I try to control my thinking. I try to keep the positive frame of mind. Yeah. And I'll tell you, the minute you think, you know, pitcher's not going to get somebody out or you're not going to get the hit, sure enough, it comes to fruition. So you think the other way and good things happen.
All right. That's a superstition. Yep. Very good. I like that. The old story about Leo DeRocher, who was a very nattily dressed man. Now, you know, Cologne, Leo DeRocher was dressed perfectly. Old manager, the Giants Hall of Fame manager, Willie Mays' manager. And he was so superstitious that if people threw stuff on in the dugout floor, he would pick it up. And then they'd walk away. They'd throw stuff behind him. They'd drive him nuts during the game. Well, if you won 6 or 7 in a row, he never changed his uniform. He wouldn't even allow it to be washed. And, of course, Eddie Logan, the old Murph knows this, the old clubhouse manager with the Giants, washed Leo's uniform in the middle of a winning streak. Leo went crazy. And, of course, then the winning streak ended, and that's the last time they ever did that. Ever do anything like that?
Yeah, I don't take it to that level. That's a good bit, though.
I bet people do it.
Yeah, no, people do it, and it's a great story. And, and you know, that's the beauty of baseball. You get these great stories of these guys that do these different things, or anything for a win. You know, anything for a win. But, no, I've never taken it to that level. I think controlling the mind right now and thinking right is very important for me, because I believe it makes a difference in your psyche and your confidence
very
as well.
Very good, very good. How about arranging bats in the dugout? Any people do stuff like that?
I'm sure these guys have a few things. You've seen a lot of them over the years, right? The bat burning, right? Sacrifice a chicken in the clubhouse, whatever
it is.
Come on,
you haven't done that.
Well, we haven't done
that.
Well, that's from the movie Major League Baseball. Major Leagues, remember that movie there? They did some strange stuff in there. Jabu, the big hitter, right? He had to have the thing in his locker. You've seen guys do some strange things, but no, we've never killed a chicken in our clubhouse.
Well, we had the chickens on the wall when they used to walk bonds all the time.
That's right.
We
yeah.
missed the chicken dance.
Well, the dance we could do without. The chickens on the wall, okay, I'll go for that, but not the dance. I've had enough of that dance.
All right, Frank Robinson, the last thing I know, he was an old-school manager. He did stuff to you know, to lighten up the clubhouse, and I won't even go into the stories, but he would bring in certain psychologists that weren't really psychologists, and things would get kind of crazy after that, you know. But that's Frank Robinson. We've lost that in baseball, I guess, of bringing someone in into the clubhouse to talk and sort of making, you know, maybe not as serious as it could be?
Well, I think that's a good thing as well. Anything to, you know, put a smile on the guy's face, to get their mind off the pressure of the game, to lighten the mood, because let's face it, you lose tough games, the mood could be different. You could get a little more negative than positive. And, you know, one guy that does do a lot of that and well documented is Joe Maddon, right?
Oh, that's
you know,
right. That's
I mean,
true,
they do
right.
a lot of those things. He brings the zoo, you know, the zookeeper in, and they have all the animals in the clubhouse. And, you know, those are fun things. Those are fun things to see. And, you know, one thing that they've done a lot of, too, is not hit, you know, batting practice. Yeah. They've done that a lot, and I think that's a real validity to that today, especially as hard as these guys work. I mean, they're always swinging the bat. They're always in the cage. I think it's great to say, hey, we're not hitting today. Let's change the dynamic. Let's change the mood. Let's save the energy for the game, and I think that's a very positive thing.
All right, boy, good Sunday morning. I didn't know what we were going to do today after last night, but you hit it well and got everybody ready for what's coming today. The pennant race is on, and well, we've talked about it. You win one, you lose one. That's what the pennant race is all about. You win two, and you say, all right, print the World Series tickets. You lose three, and you say, all right, what time is the golf start in October? That's the way this baseball works at this time of year. You can't get nuts about one game.
Well, you wish that things would always go smoothly and it would be easy, but you know, I don't remember us doing anything easily. You know, we had years, and certainly feels like torture right now when you lose a game like that. But we're right there. We're tied for the wild card. We got the Dodgers for six games. We have 14 games left. So let's do this. Let's play this game today. I'm looking forward to it.
Very good. Well, thanks so much. And again, next time I'll see you is the weekend with the Dodgers.
Okay.
Well, of course, on the air, that'll be that's Sunday, so who knows what'll be happening by then.
Well, we expect to have a good show that day.
Very good. Yeah. All right, well, thanks so much. All right, that is Ron Wotus, the bench coach of the Giants. Man, this was going to be interesting this morning. Wotus did very well with it. All right, more coming up, KNBR 680, the sports leader.